rich girl,
rich girl,
a rich girl. Oh, you're a rich bitch girl, rich girl. Yeah. Say money, but it won't get you too far, get you too far.
Explosions. Powerful car crashes. Volumes at weird levels. The time is 6:07 in the p.m.
This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is 472-5667. Hey, do you like letters? Then the phone number is 472-K-O-O-P. Anything said on the show is just the opinion of David and myself. No one else's.
How do you sound?
I sound fine, but the bed music is really loud.
I know. It's coming down.
You asked me a question.
That's true. Fair enough.
Man, we just heard The Bird and the Bee from their Interpreting the Masters album, which is nothing but Hall & Oates covers. That was Rich Girl. Because you've gone too far, doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah, we got to pay rights if you keep singing.
Oh, sorry.
And starting us off, Screaming Females from the album, What If Someone Is Watching Their TV? That was, I'm blanking, Boyfriend. That was Boyfriend. I got to see them open for Ted Leo and The Pharmacist on Wednesday.
Teddy Rockstar.
Yes. Awesome show all the way around, but Screaming Females really impressed the hell out of me. So,
did they do better than Ted Leo?
That's hard to do because that's, you know, I was excited to go see Ted Leo. That's what I was there for. But I was blown away because the lead singer is, I'm going to get this wrong, Marissa Paternoster. She is all of about 5 feet. She is all of about 90 pounds. And she comes out dressed in like a very like a vintage kind of long Wednesday Addams dress.
Okay.
And she throws the guitar over her shoulder and just starts rocking out. Like I was blown away. It was like a Diane Arbus photo was yelling at me. But I was really amazed and really impressed, and it was awesome.
She sounds kind of goth.
You know, no, she just seemed that way. But
oh no, she doesn't. Yeah, her music doesn't sound goth.
No, totally.
But the Long Wednesday Addams. Maybe that is exactly what made me think that.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever been to a show where the opening act decimated the band you were there to see?
Oh, I feel like I have. Surely,
because I've been to shows where. I was I went to go see Pete Yorn and Granddaddy.
Uh-huh.
And Granddaddy opened for Pete Yorn, and I wished that had been reversed.
Yeah.
But I expected that going in.
Mm-hmm.
I also took a bullet called Tori Amos to see Rufus Wainwright for the first time open for her.
Yeah, that stinks.
That did stink.
Oh, okay. So I'll take that back. Whoever I saw open for David Gray, I would have to say was better than that.
But did you go there to see David Gray?
No, God no. I was there to get to second. And I didn't.
took a lady.
I didn't even leave home plate. How are you, Mac?
Pretty good. I saw Pavement one time.
Yeah.
And the Dirty Three opened for them.
Yeah.
And Pavement was a lot of fun, but Dirty Three were amazing.
Actually, you know what? Probably the best co-bill I saw, which wasn't really a co-bill, I saw Mike Watt, bassist of the Minutemen, open for Frank Black and the Catholics. So it was sort of like, hey, we're going to play the songs from the bands you like, but it's just us. And Frank Black was good. He's always been good every time I saw him. But Mike Watt is amazing every time.
So Frank Black played Pixie songs.
Yeah.
I also saw that tour that Beck did where Flaming Lips were the opening act.
Yes.
Flaming Lips were really good, but I think they're also his backing band.
Really?
So I think Beck and Flaming Lips together when they did Beck songs.
Yeah.
I love the Flaming Lips, but I don't think it was enough to push Beck out of the top billing seat.
Sounds like fun. Wish I had seen it.
You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see that one.
Why do you say it like that then?
Because it sounds like fun.
We didn't know each other at the time. Your phone wasn't broken.
No, I'm not setting you up for anything.
Oh, I wish you had called me in the past.
That's the thing we would use the time machine for. Not killing Hitler, not saving Kennedy. Just really wish you had called me.
You're a rich girl. Man, I was talking about the time machine just the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I was going to do it for one thing in particular.
McRib.
I think it would be to stop myself from eating that McRib. Oh, we were just talking about it. How are you, David?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's a great Saturday. Lovely.
It's very nice. It's a Texas Relays Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the roads are crowded.
Uh-huh. Drove by Highland. It was good to see them having a car show there.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, legitimately?
No, it really just kind of seemed like a ragtag kind of car show where, like, just a bunch of people got together and just started circling around car. Man, here's the thing. I'll say this. We were downtown last night.
Yes.
And we made it all the way to last call. And we're headed.
Wait, we did? Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's right. Okay, now I'm on board again.
Yeah, this cruel mistress that is tequila.
Yep.
We were heading north on the feeder of 35. And all along the side of the road, there was just, like, cars parked. Admiring other cars driving by, like it was a ragtag car auto show. They were just admiring people as they drove by.
I don't know if I'd say admiring.
What would you say?
I don't know how you describe when people. It's late, everything is closed, but they're a bunch of kids and they don't want to go home yet because it's fun to be out, but they have nothing to do.
Yeah,
and so they're just standing there staring at cars that go by, and the cars that are going by, people are popping out of the windows and that, and.
Yeah.
Just cranking the stereos.
And that's another thing. I've always been paranoid my whole life about everything.
Uh-huh.
But to the nth degree, whenever like I'm out driving late at night and maybe I've had a beer or something, I'm always like, shut up. I'm always like paranoid. I like hands are on 10 and 2. Make sure you stay within the lines, that sort of thing. I'm always very, very hyper aware of myself. But then there are like people in front of me just like swerving in and out of lanes, like showing off their suspension or something. And like, what am I doing this for? Why am I always obeying the rules when this guy's hanging out the window? It's ridiculous.
Well, it's. Do you smell that, David? Do you smell what Austin smells like right now?
A little bit. Yeah.
Smells like shame.
Oh, how so?
Because last year, you know, they closed down Highland Mall and they were like doing all these things and didn't look so good in the city of Austin.
Very true.
And so this year, Highland Mall is open.
Mm-hmm.
And
bumping.
Austin is really trying hard to sort of. Make it look like they're accepting of the Austin Texas Relays instead of being terrified of them. However, last night, still a helicopter.
Yeah, that's right.
In the sky, circling and then shining its light on stuff. And we got the light shined at us when we were at the Cheer Up Charlie's opening on East 6th Street. Cheer Up Charlie's is like a vegan restaurant / bar.
Yeah.
And we were getting, and there was like DJ spinning and the helicopter. Like shining a light on us, and at first it was like, "Woo, all right, helicopter party!"
Yeah,
because it's like, let me ask you this: what does that helicopter do?
Well, normally it would just like spot people like fleeing or something, or maybe just like if it sees a crime in progress. But it really just—it spent a number of times on this like clearly an outdoor party.
What are the odds it's going to see a crime in progress?
And what is it going to do about it? Like,
yeah,
lower the rope.
Yeah, exactly. Helicopter's like. So far up in the sky.
Yeah.
I don't think it could made us out. If I was stabbing you, it would have just been like, carry on.
I feel like a cop is going to call up and give us the business about it. Like, we have cops situated.
Oh, I would like to actually know. 472-5667.
That'd be great. I didn't mean that to sound that way.
I was so terrified that was my own phone number for a second.
You do that a
lot. I need the number written down in here.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But yeah, it just seems like a really big waste of helicopter fuel.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I bet is not inexpensive.
But then here's what I was thinking. What if like Cheer Up Charlie's like hired that helicopter? Because then you think it's like danger and intrigue.
That's what I was just saying. Helicopter party. That'd be like a sign of a cool party. Like,
yeah.
Oh, cool. Helicopter showed up. I'm so glad helicopter's here.
I wonder if like those strippers who dress as cops, I wonder if they could make money on the side staying dressed as cops, but busting up like kids parties, like, you know, like teenagers sort of things where it's like, dude, did you go to Brian's party this weekend? The cops came. It was awesome. Like, that's legend.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm saying is I want to be a stripper now.
So maybe they don't strip, but maybe you hire fake cops to break up your own party to add to your party's legend.
Exactly.
That's a hell of a business model.
Boom. Take that.
Take that who? Who's taking that?
I don't know. Whoever's taking it right now. Okay. Whoever's going to run with my idea. Well, we're recording this show.
Yeah.
So it's legally mine now.
As with every show we finish, as soon as it's done, I burn a CD of it and mail it straight to the patent office. Because there's about 20 marketable ideas per show.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't let those fall into the hands of you scum.
Yeah.
You scum. You scum. David, I'm broke. You scum.
Stop it.
Okay.
There we go.
Yep. Texas Relays, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm under the impression that they were admiring those cars, and for a brief second last night, I thought, you know what? I wish I loved something as much as they love cars, because it's 3 a.m. and they're parked off on the side of the road just watching cars.
By they, you mean the people that are on the side of the road?
Yes. Okay. Specifically those people last night.
Yeah.
Car enthusiasts. Don't paint me into a corner.
It's kind of funny, like, I forget that it's Texas Relays,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm driving around, and there's this, like, giant For folks who don't know, Texas Relays is a giant track meet where all the colleges and high schools in Texas have a giant track competition.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And a lot of their friends come with them, and it's like one giant party here in Austin, complete with tricked out cars.
Yeah.
And so I'm driving today, and like this very sparkly, like pink and purple car is drives by in front of me. I'm just kind of like, oh, look at that. That's kind of cool. Oh, yeah, right. Texas Relays. That's why there's that motorcycle. There's that auto, not even a motorcycle. There's that vehicle with three wheels in the front, one in the back, who just drove past me.
That's why there's that one
reverse tricycle.
That one blazer that's advertising either that guy's album or his real estate license. I couldn't really figure it out.
I saw one car painted like Newport cigarettes, the Newport cigarettes package.
Are you serious? You
yes. Can't. Oh, on the way here. I did.
That's the best. I want that car now.
Yeah. There's something else that like. That could be another time. I'll talk about it actually later in the show. Something, because I'm going to play a song by the band Broken Bells.
Oh.
But speaking of something that just did not click for me. But yeah. Anyway, that'll be later in the show.
Okay. What do you want to do now? You want to take a break and we'll come back?
Let's play some music.
Okay.
Let's play a song.
Am I playing it?
You're playing some songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a rich girl.
No, I'm not.
Dude, can we just hear that again?
Both of those words are factually incorrect when you're... talking about me.
I was kind of expecting that album, the Bird and the Bee album, to be a little cheesy. Because, I mean, Hall & Oates, they're great. But there's a certain inherent cheese factor to those dudes.
Of course.
But, because, I mean, that is one hell of a mustache, even though it doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Was that Oates?
That was Oates, John Oates.
John Oates. But actually, it's... and it's not... Their interpretations aren't like, you know... revelatory, like you're not like, oh my god, oh, I never realized how great the song was, or something like that. But they're a lot of fun. I've been listening to it more than I thought I would.
You know, it's funny now that you mentioned that. I had a chance to hear "Every Rose Has Its Thorn" the other day.
Yep,
by accident.
I like how you said you had a chance to.
Well, because I didn't like seek it out.
You were given the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. I had some FaceTime with the radio that was playing it, and I was listening to it, like actually really listening to it for the first time since I was a kid, and I thought, you know what, if like Conor Oberst covered this, people would be falling over themselves about how great the song is. But just because it's coming out of the mouth of Bret Michaels, it's terrible. And I stand by that. It is terrible without qualification.
Do you know who else is terrible?
Who's that?
Conor Oberst.
Look, that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Yes, here's how the conversation would go. David, do you know who's terrible? Conor Oberst.
And then I would go, I agree. Let's get ribs.
Yes. Except not today.
No, of course not.
That's right.
Speaking of barbecue... King Kong and the Shrines. I'll play them because they're playing Emos on Monday, and that should be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it. This is Torture off their album, The Extreme Genius of King Kong and the Shrines. More Mascot Wedding Show after this. Wait. No. More Mascot Wedding Show after this.
Boom, boom, pick a bow, bow. 6:48 is the time. And yes. My name is Mac Blake.
And my name is David Hotta, and this is the Mascot Wedding Show coming down the home stretch right before the clear spot. Lisa Linda, Hot Rock for your breezy Saturday evening.
That's right, and that was Broken Bells off of their self-titled album. The name of that song was High Ground.
High Ground.
And I was talking about things not clicking. It took me the longest time to realize that Broken Bells was the guy from The Shins and Danger Mouse. And this came after people told me to my face that that was the case. Like, oh yeah, Broken Bells. Like, oh, Broken Bells. They hear their name a lot during by. People are looking forward to them. Who are they again? And they're like, oh, it's the guy from The Shins and Danger Mouse. I was like, oh. And then it's like, oh, the guy from The Shins and Danger Mouse are... they got a new project. It's like, oh, that sounds good. I wonder what that's going to sound like. Like, people even, like, told me. And it wasn't like, this is what Broken Bells is.
Yeah.
And then I was, like, looking at a South by wrap-up with a lot of photography. And there's a picture of James Mercer, I believe is his name.
Yes.
And then, you know, Danger Mouse is there on the drum kit. And I was like, oh, hey, it's a guy from The Shins. Oh, Broken Bells. Like, just for some reason, like, it only got so far into my head.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done a lot lately.
You're like at the record store, like got the headphones on. You're like, this has a real Shins vibe to it.
Yeah, exactly. What is this? Broken Bells? I've never heard of them before.
They're going places.
Yeah. Just didn't click for whatever reason. Couldn't get it into the brain. Apologies to everyone Who told that to me?
Yep.
Because I just couldn't pay attention to it for some reason.
A little late to the party, some would say.
If that's a part, that's a little late to kind of a boring party. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, quiet party.
Quiet party.
4725667. That's what we were just talking about in the last segment. Late to the party. Things you kind of came around on later, eventually.
I'll say something I definitely came around late on.
What's that?
And you still haven't come around to this.
Sopranos.
Sopranos.
I knew it. I knew it.
Sopranos.
I'll get around to it.
Yeah, exactly. How much show did that buzz had when it was on the air?
A ton. It was an instant classic.
More of a cultural event, less of a show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a single episode.
I caught parts of seasons. I couldn't tell you which season. I couldn't tell you the storyline around it, but I've seen episodes.
And once that thing wrapped up, I talked to my friend Dave, who's got all of them on DVD. He's like, you want to borrow these? I was like, yeah, I might as well.
Yeah.
Like a week and a half later, I was done with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I couldn't stop watching them. They were great.
Yeah.
Amazing. But it's the kind of thing where, like, The Wire is kind of different, because I feel like a lot of people missed that when it was on the air.
Yeah.
And The Wire is some sort of, like, weird self-replicating virus. Where
that's true.
At any point in time, there is someone within your immediate or secondary group of friends who is going insane over The Wire right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, you know, hey, Mac can't shut up about it. And now, okay, he's done. And then like a day later, like, oh, David can't shut up. And then like there's always like, well, to your, you, that wasn't you.
Yeah.
But to your
but no, it's, yeah, I get what you're saying. It, like, we could go to a public venue tonight. We can go to like a club or a bar or something and just be like, who's in the middle of The Wire? And four people would come and be like, season two, I'm right there. I'm on the docks right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's spreading. But for Sopranos, like, so there's always someone you can kind of talk about The Wire with if that's what you want, which is kind of weird. Like, if you're like, man, I just kind of want to go somewhere and talk some Wire.
We need to open that club.
Show up at a bar and be like, hey, what's up? We want to talk about Bodie? Talk about Poot? People come running. But if you're like, hey, just watch The Sopranos. That's one of those things that people, you know, it's like you just showed them the video of Sneezing Panda on the internet or something like that. Like, really?
And I almost feel like The Sopranos is sort of elevated to the point where it's like, you can't just talk about it. You can't just be like, oh man, how great was The Wire? Like, it's almost to the point of like elevated discourse, like intellectual, like eggheads are going to start talking about The Sopranos. And I don't want that kind of talk.
I feel like this is almost like an Onion article, like, annoying roommate just now discovers Sopranos or something like that. I think it might have been, actually.
Yeah.
But what else have you come to the party late on, David?
The fanatic-like appreciation for The Big Lebowski. I was just talking about this the other day with somebody because I saw it opening weekend in the theaters. I'm not bragging, but I did. And this was fresh off of Fargo, which is one of my favorite movies ever. And I also, at that point, because I was like 18 when this came out.
Uh-huh.
And so at that point, like, I loved Blood Simple and Raising Arizona. I even loved Hudsucker Proxy.
Hudsucker Proxy, massively underrated.
Yes, totally is. And out of print right now.
That's a crime.
Or else I would have tracked it down. Oh, we're interrupted right now.
Oh, we have a phone call. Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. I'll save it. Save it for a second.
Startled by someone calling in. KOOP, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, I'm not sure if I quite understood you. You weren't suggesting The Sopranos was better than The Wire.
No, God, no.
Okay, right, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I understood you correctly.
What's your name, caller?
Kristen.
Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen again.
Yeah, that's right.
The Wire is, I agree, it's like just about the most excellent.
Are you watching it right now?
Okay. I'm not watching it right now, but I've seen every episode very, very carefully. I've got an idea.
Shoot.
Let's see if you can do it. Uh-oh. Okay. Wait a second.
What's going on here, Kristen?
It's on me. I was there. I had him in my sights. I had my finger on the trigger, and I just couldn't pull it.
Oh.
Turn. Okay, you can't do it.
No.
Why not?
I can't place it.
I don't know.
Oh.
Whatever it is in you that makes you flow and do that thing you do, it ain't in me no more. Anyway, then when he leaves, it's like, do you remember? Okay. He was a man in his day. And then Avon, he a man today. He a man. Remember that?
I can't place it. I can hear the words.
Is that when Cuddy quit?
Yeah, Cuddy.
There you go. That's right.
Quits the gang.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then takes up the gym. Oh, wait, I've got another good one. Let's see. Cuddy, at the end, after he started his gym, he goes in and it's like, well, he brings a catalog. He wants new equipment from Avon, remember?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so he was like, well, we've got our Platinum Club and our Silver Club and our Bronze Club, and we'll put up your picture and a plaque. And for those brothers that don't want to dig too deep, you know, they're just the contributor. And it's like, no, man, I don't want no picture on the wall or plaque or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, okay, come on, come on, come on. How much money do you want? $15,000? Or no. Oh, shoot, I messed it up. Pretend I didn't say that, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. $10,000? And then he looks at Slim Charles, and they kind of roll their eyes and look at him suspiciously, and then they burst out laughing. And that's when he says, Slim, go get him 15 cash from the, you know, next room. Ha, 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 ha. And then he says, take care of them little blanks.
Sure.
Remember?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, good.
Okay, that's about it.
Oh, thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
I feel like the prophecy has been fulfilled. We were talking about anyone can have a very in-depth conversation about The Wire.
That you are. I miss just seeing Slim Charles.
I know.
That guy should go on Sesame Street just because he's got such an awesome voice.
That show needs a spinoff. Cheese Nights or something.
Cheese. Oh.
Just a show around cheese.
Can't have cheese. Can't have Cheese Nights, David.
Why not?
I don't want to give away spoilers.
Oh.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
That's right. Man. What did you come late to the party? You're about to say something.
Yeah, the Big Lebowski, because when I saw it, I was just sort of like, that was 90 minutes long. Now let's go drive home. But then, I got to college, and then after college, people were just like, oh my God, Big Lebowski is so great, and like quoting it and stuff like that, and people are sort of like emulating this movie now. And I never got that part. Like, it was always just a sort of middling, you know, good but not who cares movie. And then about a month ago, Roger Ebert put it in his great movies column, and he basically likened it to a Philip Marlowe movie where Philip Marlowe makes all the wrong decisions. And I was like, oh, now I love this movie.
Wait, so like a year ago,
yeah,
if we're talking Big Lebowski, you'd be like, meh.
Yeah, totally.
You know what my problem with the Big Lebowski was and why I never like got super mega into it?
What's that?
It's because I thought the end of the movie, the final like denouement,
mm-hmm,
was going to be them bowling against Jesus.
There was no bowling.
And I was so looking forward to that final like bowl off or whatever.
Yeah.
But it never happened. And so when the crowds were all, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Where's the bowling?
Drop the ball, Coens.
Yeah. To this day. I'm sorry. Yeah. Everyone loves it. Lebowski Fest. Yeah. It's great and everything. But like... I still guarantee it would have been a lot better
if it
ended with a bowl off.
With the internet being what it is right now, like you can't just go on Funny or Die and just have like Jeff Bridges and John Turturro like recreate those roles and have the bowl off we so desperately want.
Where's Big Lebowski 1.2?
Oh, reboot.
Or 1.1 or whatever. 1.5? Yeah, or the sequel, whatever. I just want a bowl off. I want a stinking bowl off.
Yeah, get Christopher Nolan in this. We're rebooting it.
Oh, exactly. Hey, we are out of time.
Yes, we are. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including show archives and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com, email us mascotwedding@gmail.com, or on Facebook, keyword Mascot Wedding.
David is now on Twitter.
Yeah, come find me.
Come find him if you can.
Actually, you know what? Come find me. I don't care.
And stay tuned for Clear Spot, who I believe...
Actually, I'm going to go out with some Iron Maiden. We were just talking about that. They're having Bruce Dickinson
on the
show today.
An interview with Iron Maiden's Bruce Dickinson, who I believe is going to read an excerpt from his new erotic thriller, in Her Majesty's Secret Maiden.
Yes.
Really exciting. He's outside right now.
Yeah.
And so stay tuned for that show.
Yeah.
Should be great.
Not my favorite era of Iron Maiden, but Lisa and Linda are the bosses.
Yep.
From 7 to 8.
They love Iron Maiden.
We're going out with an early cut, Running Free. Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Austin.
Robots.